Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Tuesday, the 18th of February. And our top story today is that a dad who's been described as a true gentleman has died in a house fire in Canterbury. Ian Jameson and his two dogs were discovered at the property in Hursdon on Friday night. Well, Lucy joins me now. Lucy, an incredibly sad story. Do we know how the fire started?
Well, fire crews have told us some items left on a hob caught alight when it was accidentally switched on. The flames had actually been put out by the time they arrived at the property in the avenue, but it's thought Mr. Jameson had been overcome by smoke. As you say, sadly, his two dogs, Benson and Luna, also died.
And friends have been paying tribute.
Yes, one has described him as a wonderful husband and father. Another said he adored all of his family and will be sadly missed. A fundraising page has also been set up to help support Mr. Jameson's family. It says he was a wonderful husband, dad, granddad and best friend and will leave a huge hole in the hearts of those that loved him.
And that fundraising page you mentioned there revealed a bit more about Mr. Jameson's battle with COVID a few years ago.
That's right. He was actually put in a coma after becoming seriously ill with the virus in March 2020. He spent a total of 5 weeks at the QEQM in Margate before finally being allowed home. At the time, staff lined the corridors and clapped as he was discharged. We're told it was a miracle he survived, but it left him with damaged lungs and unable to work. So far, more than £4,500 has been raised to support his family.
Lucy, thank you ever so much. Police are not treating Mr. Jameson's death as suspicious, and we have got a link to that fundraiser within the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and CCTV from near to where a woman was shot outside a Kent pub on Valentine's Day has emerged. Gunshots there can be heard in the footage. 43-year-old Lisa Smith from Slough suffered fatal injuries outside the Three Horseshoes in Knockholt on Friday night. Police think the suspect may have gone into the River Thames after a car and gun were found near the Dartford crossing. Four people have been arrested after a man suffered serious head injuries in an alleged attack in Ramsgate. Emergency crews were called to King Street in the early hours of Saturday. The victim, who's in his 40s, was taken to hospital. Three men in their early 20s and an 18-year-old woman have been questioned. A woman's in a serious condition in hospital after coming off an e-scooter in Tunbridge Wells. Police say she suffered head injuries after it happened in Eastlands Road on Sunday night. Investigators want to hear from anyone who saw the scooter in the moments before the crash. A man's been arrested after a driver was reportedly assaulted following a crash in Rochester. A Ford Galaxy allegedly collided with another vehicle on Arethusa Road last Thursday morning. Police have questioned a 44-year-old and are keen to trace the victim, who left the scene before they arrived. Now, figures show Kent Police have recorded more than 1,600 cases of child sex abuse images in the space of a year. That's more than four every day in the 12 months to last March. The NSPCC is urging the government to strengthen powers for regulator Ofcom in the new Online Safety Act. Lewis Keller is from the charity and he's been speaking to Abby Hook from our colleagues at KMTV.
We often hear from Childline reports from children in which they've been contacted by perpetrators trying to get hold of child sexual abuse material, and that we know, as well as a lot of the risks that are in place, in many instances there's not enough protections in place for children to stop this happening in the first place. So we really think that the tech platforms need to take responsibility.
And of course, this is incredibly hard to police, not only for our forces here in Kent and the southeast of England, but also for those tech companies as well. So you say you want them to sort of enforce it a bit better and have better monitoring, but exactly how are they to do that with the hundreds of millions of accounts and not really many checks on how old people actually are on these platforms?
One of our main concerns at the moment is that the regulator Ofcom, who are regulating the online world have recently published their final codes of practice. And in that, there is a carve out for private messaging services, which means that even when they become aware of illegal content, such as child sexual abuse material, there might be instances where they won't have to remove it at all because they'll say it's technically infeasible. So we're calling on the government to take steps to make sure this doesn't happen. As part of that, that means identifying troubling behaviour, suspicions, patterns of behaviour, making sure that it's a lot harder for adults to connect with children in the first place, and removing accounts which have been shown to be where many accounts have been created in which adults and perpetrators seek to target children. So we think there are things that can be done. That's why we've written to the Home Secretary and the Tech Secretary so that they can tighten up some of the rules that have been laid out by Ofcom and to ensure that children can remain safe online.
Kent Online reports.
Some breaking news for today's podcast, and Thames Water has been granted a £3 billion emergency loan. The UK's biggest supplier supplies homes in parts of North Kent and had been at risk of going into administration if it wasn't approved. The company's around £16 billion in the red and only has enough cash to see it through until late March. A driver who reached speeds of 140 miles per hour during a police chase on the M2 has been sentenced to 12 months in prison. A court heard Bakay Bejet undertook several vehicles, veered onto slip roads and jumped a red light when it happened last August. The 33-year-old from the Chimes in Bearsted only had a provisional licence and had taken his girlfriend's car without permission. It's been revealed that Kent Council's had to set aside what's been described as an astronomical amount of money in a bid to fight controversial housing plans. Leaders in Swale are opposed to more than 8,000 properties being built on land to the west of Tenham and south and east of Sittingbourne. A 12-week public inquiry is due to get underway in March. A mum's been given an apology after being told she couldn't breastfeed in a Kent branch of Greggs. Rebecca Reeve was at Westwood Cross and asked staff if she could eat in so she could feed her five-month-old. She was told to use a public toilet or bench outside instead. She's been assured staff will be reminded of the laws around breastfeeding. Next today, and petitions calling for more cameras at a junction in Thanet following the death of a woman at a pedestrian crossing. It's claimed some drivers are going too fast and others are jumping red lights on the A28 where it meets Minster and St Mildred's. Police are still investigating after a 71-year-old was knocked down there in January. Michael Grantham's lived in the area for 20 years and wants more safety measures.
The traffic up here mostly behaves itself, but there are a few individuals that will go through here at a ridiculous speed, and I mean ridiculous. We have a 40 mile an hour limit here, and yet occasionally you'll see a biker go through or a hot hatch or something, and they'll be doing considerably more. I've seen them going so fast that you barely register the flash as they go past. So we're talking 70 miles an hour, certainly, probably even faster for the bikes. The issue there is we have a number of turns onto the main road, so people turning right onto the main road from side roads, and if one of those is heading for them and they don't register how fast they're going, one day there will be a serious accident. I've noticed, I mean, certainly at the moment, the problem is very much eased by the roadworks, people are tending to behave themselves. Although I am spotting red light jumpers on the junction just behind us where we're standing, because they know there's a brief delay between the light changes. And that's all very well, unless you're a pedestrian crossing the road. Because if you are, and you're expecting the traffic to have stopped, that can be very dangerous.
Now, if the petition reaches 750 signatures, it will be debated by the County Council. We've also had this statement from the authority.
We were sorry to hear about the incident on the A28 Canterbury Road. Our thoughts are with those affected. KCC is reviewing the detailed report from Kent Police following the crash at the Canterbury Road, Minster Road junction. Once the petition is submitted, KCC will undertake a detailed review of what is being requested in the petition. Petitions submitted to KCC are processed in accordance with the petition scheme, which is published on our website.
Kent Online reports.
A court's heard how a couple from Dartford stole baby milk and other products from a shop before sending them on to pay for drugs. They were caught on CCTV at the Co-op on Colney Road last Monday. The 47 and 52-year-olds used the money to fund their heroin addiction and will be sentenced at a later date. A football club has resubmitted plans to fence off part of the field it uses in Dartford. Fleet Down United originally put in a bid in 2022, but that was turned down as it would have restricted access to the public. Well, new plans also involve creating an artificial grass pitch with floodlights and stands. Consultation events will take place later this month and in March. Plans have been unveiled today for a new rail watchdog, but Kent commuters have told the Kent Online podcast they're not convinced it'll help passengers. The government claims it'll give people a voice and hold train companies to account. Well, Lucy's been chatting to Rob Mansfield, who's chair of the Tonbridge Line Commuters Campaign Group.
We have two main problems at the moment. One is the trains. So the network of the old white trains that we've got are very much towards the end of their life. And it's been a long, drawn out process trying to get new trains. That does look like it's happening, but it can't happen quite quickly enough. The other issue is train fares, in that they're too expensive. You know, we've all seen over the past couple of years that for the majority of us, it is possible to work from home. Therefore, the competition for the railway has increased. The quality hasn't improved, yet the price just keeps going up.
Can you give us some examples of some of the fares that commuters are facing? If someone is travelling, say, from Tonbridge into London a few days a week, what kind of cost is that?
You'd be looking at over 30 quid a day to try and do that. The government during the pandemic came up with flexible season tickets, which work if you're very regimented and travel 2 days a week. But if you end up missing one, then the ticket ends up costing you money. So one of our campaigns is to try and get the validity period of that ticket extended so that it's much less sensitive to you missing just 1 day. So, you know, if you've got childcare responsibilities, or, you know, a meeting gets changed or something, and therefore you don't end up making those 8 journeys, we don't want to see people lose money. And so we don't want to see people lose money, and we want people to try and get the maximum value out of the railway that they can.
And I understand prices are going up again. Is it March or April they're due to go up again? I mean, how frustrating is that for commuters when, as you say, the service might not necessarily be getting any better?
Yeah, I believe it's March. And the price increases are frustrating because the quality of the service isn't improving. We're seeing lots of landslides where we've got historic landworks that maybe aren't up to scratch. There's lots of work basically to try and keep the railway going rather than to try and improve it. It's not to say that fare increases are always bad, but we need to see some quality for that as well, particularly if the railway is going to attract people back.
And we're hearing from the Department for Transport that they want to introduce a rail watchdog to give passengers more of a voice. What do you think about that idea?
I'm not entirely sure what that's going to achieve, because if the implication is that it's going to enable people to hold railway companies to account better, the problem is often the Department for Transport, or more importantly, the Treasury. And so is a watchdog going to be able to hold the Treasury to account? If not, where's the value for money for it?
Kent Online News.
5 years after a border facility opened in Ashford, the Kent Online podcast has been told lorries are still getting lost and blocking country lanes. The site at Sevington opened in 2020 and is used to check goods going in and out of the UK. But people living nearby say more signs are still needed to prevent damage to their homes and gardens. One of those is Councillor Paul Bartlett, who lives on Cheeseman's Green Lane.
The issue first started 5 years ago in 2020, when this site was taken over by the DfT as the inland border facility. The problem that we have is that lorries don't use the main entrance on the A2070. Instead, they try and use the back entrance, the staff entrance, presumably because they feel they're going to get a head start or to the front of the queue. And this lane is simply unsuitable for large HGVs. They're not allowed into the site through this route, and it causes chaos on the roads. The roads get blocked by the HGVs. They're barely wide enough for a single car, let alone a HGV. They're destroying the verge and destroying people's properties. My own fence has been destroyed by HGVs going into it, and I know I'm not the only person on this street that has the same problem. And it's really down to the DfT now to be good corporate citizens and ensure that there's correct signage which stops lorries accessing these country lanes.
So what's the next step then? What needs to happen next?
Well, we do have an opportunity because the DfT have decided, or the government have decided, that this site is going to be used permanently for checking goods coming in and out of the EU. And there'll be a planning application before Ashford Borough Council in the next few months looking for permanent use. So I'll be encouraging my colleagues to put various restrictions on the operation of the site to ensure that lorries are not using unauthorised routes into the site.
The government's wanting to extend the use of the site, so there are calls for better signage. Figures out today show a slight drop in unemployment in Kent. Just under 40,600 people were claiming out-of-work benefits in the county in December. That's down by 110 compared to the previous month. An old Thanet pub owned by Tracy Emin is going to be turned into a new home. The Brown Jug in Broadstairs closed in December 2019. The Margate-born artist applied for planning permission in 2023 to turn it into a two-bed property. Some showbiz news now, and Danny Dyer and his daughter Danny are going to be running their own caravan park in Kent as part of a new TV series. They're taking on a project on the Isle of Sheppey after reminiscing about holidays in the UK. The six-part series will be on Sky later this year. A West End play about Gareth Southgate's time as England manager is coming to a theatre in Kent. The award-winning Dear England is going on tour later this year. It'll be performed at the Marlow in Canterbury in October. And finally, if you're a resident or have ever visited Canterbury, you may well have wondered about the history of the famous Crooked House. The rickety black and white building at the junction of King Street and Palace Street dates back to the 1600s, and historian Trevor Gardner has been telling us how it came to be quite so wonky.
Well, it's a very good story. The central chimney breast was demolished for whatever reason. There was some structural damage to it, and unfortunately in 1850 it started to fall down. The building itself started to lean, and they removed the chimney breast and they built a steel collar around that, and there's a steel collar around the house itself as well. So it's a very stable house now, but it was a structural problem, and that's been rectified. But that was about 1850 this took place, and ever since it's sort of kind of held its shape. Despite the fact that the door looks wonky, but that's just been made to look that way.
The building's been converted into a second-hand bookshop run by the charity Catching Lives. You can see pictures within the story today at Kent Online. Well, that's all from us. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on socials. You can also get the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. If you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.